Manuscript Releases, Volume 5, Numbers 260 to 346. M.R., Number 299. The Amadon Family. Brother Amadon knows something of our early experiences. He was a member of my family. I am sure that he remembers many of the strait places through which we passed. I am glad that Brother Amadon is now engaged in the Southern work. You may strengthen one another in the most holy faith. Each one is to stand in his lot and place. 262, 1903, page 4. To our ministers and other workers in the Southern states, November 24, 1903. Brother Amadon has been connected with the Review Office from its first establishment. Those who labored in the cause from the first knew what it was to sacrifice. They accepted the least wages which it seemed possible to subsist upon, and sacrificed of even the little they did receive in order to make the office a success. Note, James White suffered a stroke in August 1865. The next 2.5 years were given largely to his recovery, with the Whites residing in 1867 and 1868 at Greenville, Michigan, some 90 miles north of Battle Creek. By the time of the camp meeting at Wright in September 1868, he was quite recovered. But Ellen, who had the burden of his care, was badly worn. At the camp meeting, they were urged to return to Battle Creek, which they agreed to do. In mid-October, they moved to Battle Creek, arranged for the building of a home, and then embarked on a journey east, which took 11 weeks. Returning to Battle Creek on December 30th, they found their home finished and partly furnished with their goods from Greenville. They found a very unwholesome situation in Battle Creek. They faced criticism and gossip. This demanded wearying labor with the church. Finally, in mid-April 1869, much worn, James and Ellen White returned to Greenville, hopeful of finding seclusion and an opportunity to write. A few days after their arrival, Ellen White addressed a message to Brethren Smith and Amadon. The statement which follows is drawn from this communication. Dear Brethren Smith and Amadon, I will write to you a faint expression of my feelings at this time as I review the past. At the camp meeting at Wright, the Lord was with his people. Their solemn pledges were made by the brethren of Battle Creek that they would stand by us and not permit burdens to come upon us. I was reluctant to locate in Battle Creek. I had, as it were, fled to Greenville for quietude of mind and freedom from the harassing trials brought upon us unnecessarily by those who should have stood by us. I pled with my husband not to comply with the wishes of our brethren in regard to locating in Battle Creek until we should have clear light from God that it was His will that we should move from this place. My husband urged that our trials in Battle Creek were over, and that we could, in the hands of God, be a blessing to the office, institute, and church. Our hearts were all aglow, and we both flattered ourselves that we were established in the hearts of the brethren and sisters at Battle Creek. We most earnestly desired this, that we might work in harmony with them. In order to do this, their confidence must be established that God was with us. We looked at Battle Creek, our home, as a place of rest, especially my husband. I had seen the condition of things which led me to feelings of uncertainty and insecurity in regard to peace and happiness being enjoyed with our brethren in Battle Creek. I was shown Brother Smith and wife, dissatisfied and unsettled, looking upon Brother Aldrich and sympathizing with him, and fearing that Brother White did not pursue the right course toward him. Brother Amadon likewise did not dare to take his position and rebuke wrong for fear in some things he should condemn himself. All seemed held. Satan was at the helm, and you were all being, in a measure, controlled by him. We have labored and toiled and tugged. We have prayed and wept at home. We could not rest or sleep. There was an accursed thing in the camp which brought the frown of God. I wrote testimony after testimony at the expense of health, and I feared of life, hoping to arouse the consciences of the people at Battle Creek. We bore testimonies in meetings and held private interviews out of meeting. But you did not dare to reprove wrong or stand with us. I will say no more in regard to the painful state of things caused by the failure of those who ought to have stood by us according to their solemn pledges. Let Satan get the start, and pledges, vows, and protestations will melt away like frost before the sun. You have had all the evidences you will ever have to establish your confidence that God is with us. We labored through that series of meetings, tugging at the work with all our might, until I was pressed as a cart beneath sheaves, my life almost sacrificed. I nearly died at my post. Brother Amadon came in the morning after they had prayed for me, and said in a very decided manner, "I know what is the matter with you. You have overlabored, and it is sin. You hold too many meetings. In the East you went too fast from place to place. It is wrong. The Lord has cautioned you in this matter. Brother White takes too many burdens on himself in the office." I was too weak to say much, yet I did say a few words. Who had brought the labor upon us the last few weeks when we came home utterly exhausted to seek for a little rest? It was this condition of things. It was so painful to find that those who ought to sustain us stood aloof or indifferent. It was this that brought the displeasure of God and was like an arrow in our hearts. The conversation of George set my mind at work. I could see that it was no use to expect anyone to appreciate our work, our motives, or our sufferings caused by their wrongs. I felt that if we should burden ourselves to death over the wrongs of the church, they would not appreciate it, but say we killed ourselves, we had sinned in doing so, and there the matter would end. All we have wanted was for the church and our brethren in important positions to be so consecrated that they can, when God leads us to stand against wrong, and when the painful necessity is laid upon us to reprove wrong and sin, let their voice be heard in union with the Spirit of God, who speaks through us in saying, "Amen." If they would have stood by us and shown that they were acquainted with the Spirit of God, it was all we wanted. But are we safe to be among a people who occupy the position you have occupied in the face of the direct light God has given? Can we feel free to rest among you when, after all the evidence you have had, you hesitate to take your position and to know where the Lord's side is? Can we expect God will give you any greater proofs than you have already received that He was using us in His work? We do not expect you will have any more light, nor as much as you have had. We cannot trust you. We can but expect, if any doubtful circumstance should arise, that if one you had confidence in or loved, as you have Brother Aldrich, should be reproved for wrong, you would be found on the wrong side every time, or occupying your neutral position. We shall not withdraw our interest from Battle Creek, but cannot trust our life and happiness in your hands. God does not require it of us. He has called us and commissioned us to do an important work. This work must be done where it will be appreciated, and our time not thrown away. It must tell. May God help us to work in humility, trusting in Him to give the increase. In love, Ellen G. White. 3. 1869, pages 1 to 8. To Brethren Uriah Smith and George Amadon, April 23, 1869. I received and read with deep interest Brother Amadon's letter. I sincerely thank you for writing so fully in regard to our old hands. I thank you any time that you can write. I shall be glad to hear from you. I am sorry, so sorry for Katie. Oh, that God may touch the heart of Fred, for he will need a Savior by and by. Tell Kate to keep her hand in the hand of Jesus, and He will hold her that her feet shall not slide. Oh, how thankful I am that Jesus has revealed Himself unto you in Battle Creek. I hope and pray that the church in Battle Creek may follow on to know the Lord until they shall know His goings forth are prepared as the morning. Light, precious light, is to shine upon God's commandment-loving people. Satan meditates their destruction, but Jesus has thoughts of mercy upon them. Then let there not be one doleful note sounded, for the church is the special object of His care and of His love. Talk faith. Always talk hope, talk courage. This morning I read the letter that came last night from Brother Amadon. I earnestly desire that every soul shall do his own work of confessing his sins and humbling his soul before God. Let us seek the Lord most earnestly. I have a spirit of prayer for the church in Battle Creek. I feel intensely for those whom we might look upon as the lost sheep, those who have been with us but have gone out from us, and those who have been in contention. Let these souls be visited. Let special efforts be made that the convicting Spirit of God may come upon the people. We have heard of the calamity that overtook you during the Battle Creek camp meeting in the wrecking of the large tent. This news does not surprise us, for the prince of the power of the air will do strange things in his efforts to hinder God's people, and much more in the future than he has in the past. As Lucifer sees that we are making efforts to work the cities as if we meant to give the last message, his wrath will be aroused, and he will employ every device in his power to hinder the work. Again and again I am instructed to present to our churches in every place the work that should be done, not only where we have churches already established, but in new fields, where the truth has never been fully established. In our cities, as verily as in far-off lands, there are people of all nationalities whose souls are precious and who must hear the message. The way must be opened to reach these unworked fields. Decided work must be done. Openings must be made. We received your letter, and I have only encouraging words to write you in reply. I can sympathize with you in your feelings of doubt and perplexity, for there are times when Satan seeks to bring to me the same trouble of mind, and I have to guard myself that the tempter may not gain the advantage. When these times of doubt come to you, my brother, remember that the Lord Jesus is your friend and keeper. He has not forsaken you. You must not despond. You must not grieve the dear Savior by cherishing unbelief or distrust of him. We must not allow our faith to decrease. It must continually increase. Repeat to yourself the words, "The Lord is my keeper." Put your trust in him. Call to mind the love he has shown you, the care he has had for you, the assurance you have had in the past that he has accepted you and blessed you. He is not only the author, but the finisher of your faith. Again and again, your case has been presented to me as of one who is cared for and guarded against the power of the enemy by heavenly intelligences. Brother Amadon, rest in the promises of God. When your mind is clouded because of physical weakness, do not try to think. You know that Jesus loves you. He understands your weakness. You may do his will by simply resting in his arms. He who took humanity upon himself knows how to sympathize with the sufferings of humanity. His hand is outstretched in pitying tenderness to every suffering child of his. And those who suffer most have most of his sympathy and pity. He is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He desires you to lay your perplexities and troubles at his feet and to leave them there. When temptations assail you, when darkness seems to surround your soul, look to the place where you last saw the light. Rest in Christ's love and under his protecting care. Let your mind dwell on the goodness of God, on the great love wherewith he has loved you. If he did not love you, he would not have given Jesus to die for you. His everlasting arms are underneath you. In all your afflictions, he is afflicted. Then lift your eyes to him. When doubt would sweep over your soul, continue to look to Jesus, casting your helpless soul on him. He ever liveth to make intercession for you. You are precious in his sight. I will not write you a long letter, but I send these words to you in the hope that they may bring courage and faith to your heart. Christ is all merciful, and he is your Redeemer. He has not forgotten you. You and your wife may win the crown of life if you will learn the lesson of overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Be of good courage in the Lord. Released May 17th, 1972.